Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and my guest today is the chairman of the Landscape Committee, Chris Stevens. The Landscape Committee, I think, is one of the hardest working committees here. It's pretty big in size, and it affects everyone here. So, Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to come today.
And but before we get into the landscape, you are the only person I've ever known whose email address ends in nasa.gov. So I'd like to know a little bit about what you were doing before you came here.
Yeah, right. Well, I've had my career has been in the aerospace business. I worked for the California Institute of Technology, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and we worked on NASA missions and projects. Mm-hmm. I was there for 30 years, then retired and then was brought back, and I've been consulting now for NASA for about the past 6 years.
30 years, so you were there pretty much at the beginning.
Well, the lab really became a NASA lab when NASA was formed in 58. It was an Army Ordnance Laboratory before that. And what the Jet Propulsion Laboratory is a federally funded research and development corporation. It's not a direct NASA center, so we're employees of Caltech, whereas the other centers like Goddard Space Flight Center, those are civil service people working directly for NASA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe sometime in the future we'll have you back and talk about the Hubble Space Telescope and a lot of exciting things going on there. But
yes.
Today we're going to focus on landscape. When did you move to the community, and how did you get involved with the Landscape Committee?
Well, I moved down here in April of 2011. I was attracted to the community after we were down here one weekend and looked around, and actually my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were with us, and they were already retired. they ended up buying a house down here.
Mm.
And so several years later, after a fairly exhaustive search across the country for a place to relocate on retirement, we finally decided that from the standpoint of being close to family and the weather that we have down here most of the time of the year, and a desire to be in a community where you can leave your house and you know it's going to be there when you get home,
mm-hmm.
Caused us to choose this place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, as I said, we moved in 2011 in April, and really enjoy it. We're enjoying it very much. My wife is very active in a bunch of the clubs, and I'm
You got active. The landscape committee.
And then I have the landscape advisory committee. Yes, actually, the way I got involved in the landscape advisory committee was in talking with a neighbor of mine who became a friend of mine. Dick Freeman, who was the chair of the Landscape Committee at that time, and Dick has a background in many years of working in the landscape business, and he was running the committee, and he asked me if I'd be interested in coming along and helping. My undergraduate work is in biology, so I understand something about plants. I've always liked landscaping and liked planting and things, so I thought, well, that would be fun to do. So I joined the Landscape Advisory Committee, and I was a subcommittee member for a short period of time. Then I was made a committee member, and then about a year and a half ago, Dick turned over the chairmanship to me.
I see. And approximately how big is our community? Do you have order of magnitude about?
Yeah, in terms, I should know that because we've looked at Google Map and tried to figure out what the common area is, but it's quite large.
It's huge.
Yeah. And when we take people around, for example, if we have a new board member, I give them a tour of the common areas, and they're always amazed at the number of places that we are responsible for throughout the community, both in all the phases.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we have the responsibility around the perimeter as well, along Jefferson and 40th, and then along Monroe.
Yeah.
So we have a very large area to cover, And we have a good committee that's very diligent in looking and inspecting mm-hmm. all those areas.
And talk about inheriting a mess. You inherited a mess when Pulte pulled out.
Yeah, we have this several challenges that we had to deal with. One of which is typical of a community like this, where the developer wants to convey the ambiance of a fully landscaped community when they first build it. So they overplant, and so we had trees and shrubs that were planted together, way too close together, at park-like trees put in places where there was no room for them to be, like a park-like tree. So that was a challenge as the landscape grows up, particularly in phase one and in phase two, where now we're 10 years old, and so we've had a lot of growth in all those areas. Phase three, we're getting into the same challenge. Mm-hmm. So we got too many plants.
Yeah.
So
and thousands of those sprinkler heads.
Yes,
right?
And then we had, and of course, to go along with each one of the plants, there was a dripper or a irrigation head. So that was the second challenge. Was first of all deciding where we need to have plants and where we don't want plants. And we've had a program going that Dick instituted when he was chair that we have removed somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 shrubs. And several hundred trees.
Wow.
So far. And we are working to do that in phase three now,
mm-hmm.
because of the challenges we have here with too many plants. The other challenge we face is that the irrigation system that was built here was built by several different contractors. And it is not really up to standard for landscape irrigation.
Mm. Mm.
So we've had difficulties with blowouts in our main lines.
Describe a blowout.
Well,
please.
It's where, for example, if you have a 4-inch line that has a joint in it. They used PVC plastic, and they glued those joints, and where the pressure hits when the demand comes on, it hydraulically hammers the end of that joint, and they come apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had significant number of those. We have what are called the laterals that are smaller pipes. We're having the same problems with that. So we're constantly chasing blowouts. The other challenge we have is that we don't have a set of as-built plans. We have a design set of plans which says the system should look like this, the valve should be this place.
And they
may or may not be there. And so our landscape contractor has been working very hard to essentially update our understanding of where all of our control valves are, where of course they know where the controllers are, but we have controllers all over the place. So it was a kind of willy-nilly as the place grew, they added more to the system. So it's really
a further challenge has been you've converted a lot of area from grass to natural setting, right?
Yeah, we had when the drought was at its intensity, the water agencies and here in the valley came up with an approach that was funded by the state to reduce the amount of turf in other words to conserve water. So we had an opportunity on the rebate program to convert some of our turf areas to desert landscaping,
mm-hmm.
thereby turning it into, instead of having to water and maintain a grass area, we could significantly reduce our maintenance costs and also reduce our water usage.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some conversions. We did along the North Channel. The first one we did along the North Channel was a strip right along Jefferson, where it was it was a strip of grass that goes underneath the fence and was hard to maintain anyway, so we took that out, and we got full reimbursement for that at $1 per square foot, which basically covers the cost mm-hmm. of the project, including mm-hmm. planting desert plants and putting in the irrigation. So we did several of those turf removal projects. Mm-hmm. And then the money dried up. The water agencies, both Indio Water Authority and CUWD, Coachella Valley, wanted to focus on getting people at their private homes to do those conversions, and so they decided to save their money rather than spending it with HOAs.
I see.
Now, in the areas where we have reclaimed water, where we're watering the golf course and some of our common areas, we don't have that rebate program did not apply. It was only if you had domestic waters that you were using to put on your grass.
I see. And so for the benefit of the residents, most people only think of landscape when they see a problem. Right. So would you go through your process,
yeah.
please?
Well, I'll say that, first of all, the Landscape Advisory Committee is made up of six people plus me. Okay, so there's seven of us. We have assigned each person to a particular common area, and they are basically responsible for monthly inspection of that area. We have meetings once a month. We get together with the contractor. We get together with the associate management and the committee, and we go through those reports, and then we convey what needs to be done to the contractor, where there are issues that need to be addressed. Part of that process involves a quarterly walk with the contractor, where we get out. So we do one area a month, and so it comes around quarterly, basically, for us to look at each area with the contractor. So that's everybody on the ground at the same time, looking at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I think, very effective in communicating what needs to be done where, and of course getting everybody to focus on the problems. We do that quarterly. We have a budget which is basically for plant refurbishment. So when we have areas where we have to take plants out that we want to replace, we have a budget to do that. And that's a budget that's funded annually for the landscape mm-hmm. refurbishment. We also have a budget that covers the costs of the repairs on these blowouts that we just have all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
so that we have money, that because those are outside the terms of the statement of work for the contractor.
Is this problem getting better over time?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. As we understand more and more where all the problem points are, and we go in and replace them, it's getting better. The other thing that we've been challenged with is that where we do have reclaimed water, that water's got a lot of nutrients in it, and in the summer it sits in the pipes while the water's up, and it grows goodies, and so. Then those end up blocking the little holes in the drippers. So the first indication, well, you'd hope that the contractor is checking to make sure the drippers are working, but usually what happens is when we notice that on our inspection that plants are looking a little stressed, it's usually because we've got plugged drippers.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing was putting in two filtration systems toward the end of the pipes, where we water out on Monroe, because that was the area we were having the biggest problem. We were losing a lot of plants due to the contractor was replacing plug drippers daily. You know, so that's the other challenge here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's lots going on all the time, and do you have to do with trimming trees in the common areas and replacing that stuff as well?
Yeah, we have the Hortec is the contractor, and they have the tree trimming responsibility in the common areas, and now they also have the contract to do the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first year where they've been trimming trees on the golf course. The we do two things. We trim trees in the based upon the season. For example, the palm trees get trimmed in the early summertime. We trim the other trees in the fall. And as you can see, for example, right now along 40th, they're trimming trees right now.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we've done with trees is the tree removal issue. And an example of a recent one was the Palo Verde trees that were planted in the median here in phase three.
Those are
not only are they messy, but they're a park tree, and their average canopy wants to be 30 to 40 feet across. Well, that's ridiculous in a median, because then all you're doing is fighting interference with the traffic.
Right.
So we end up trimming those things, trying to make them look like a cypress, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we ended up taking out 47 trees. Yeah.
Can see the palm trees.
And you can see the palm trees that we invested a lot of money in putting in.
Yeah.
And what we're doing we replace, instead of putting a tree in where we took those trees out, we put in Mexican Bird of Paradise, because it has enough area there so they can grow, and they look very nice in the when they bloom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the final thing that I've heard scuttlebutt around is rodent control, specifically our kangaroo.
Yeah, that's something that's come up periodically. We get reports from homeowners, and I didn't mention earlier, but I'll mention it now. One of the things that we do on a monthly basis is we look at any homeowner concerns that we've received. Mm-hmm. That the HOA office receives, we look at those. For example, we have on Wednesday, we have our meeting, and we have three homeowner concerns that we're working with to try to rectify the problem that the homeowner's got. If I cycle back now, we were going to talk about the kangaroo rats,
yes,
the gophers, the squirrels.
Yeah, all the people who were here first.
Yeah, all the people that were here first. Yeah, we have Hortec has a responsibility for rodent control in their statement of work in the contract. And they have, and we have not seen any significant rodent activity within the community. However, we get reports, for example, of rats walking along the top of walls, particularly in phase three, and particularly along the perimeter walls.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, we've had some concerns raised about the holes that they see in phase three. We had Hortec bring out their rodent control expert. He did an inspection. Didn't find any active rodent infestation along Sun City Boulevard. We asked, but we are concerned about how diligent he was in looking. So we've asked him to come out and take a look at very specific spots that have been pointed out to us. Now, in the flood control basins along the perimeter in phase one along Los Padres, there's obviously been gophers in there digging. But and when we were in doing an inspection last September, at the early in September, we did see evidence of fairly recent digging out in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But so we do have you know, they live out here, and of course the irony of it is that from a standpoint of eradication, if it's kangaroo rats, we can't do that. They're protected.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it's other rodents, if it's gophers, or ironically, if the kangaroo rat is in the is digging in the in a private owner's property, they can do something about it. But we as a HOA can't do that in the common areas.
I see. Okay. In general, you've handled a big transition of landscape.
Yeah, well, it's in the process of transition, yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward, do things look much better than they used to? And what?
Well, I think we're in a phase right now where we're making that transition, and hopefully we can make it better. For example, we just reinforced an approach that we want to use to in pruning these plants. For example, some of the plants like the cassias and the carices, they tend to spread out and grow together, and they grow out on the ground. And so if you just kind of trim around the perimeter of them, what happens is you get debris collecting underneath. Very difficult for the landscapers to get all that stuff out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look, they don't look that good. So one of the things we initiated just recently is having the pruning of those plants raise the foliage up off the ground so that it basically exposes the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in that process. They went through for first of all and trimmed, did the rough trimming, the rough pruning. And now we're going back through and cleaning up with pruning shears kind of an approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to do that. We've done that now. You may have noticed it around the area. It's a different look than we've had before. The whole idea is to bring the individual plants separate above the ground, so then you can clean out around them, and so you see the rock underneath.
I see.
Now, when I mentioned the rock, that's something that we also are in the process of replenishing. We started this year with phase one, the DG in all of the beds along Sun City Boulevard. We
mm-hmm.
put all new rock in there. We're doing it in a phased approach. So in 2018, we'll be doing phase two. Because it's a significant investment,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be doing phase three in 2019,
mm-hmm.
or yeah, 19,
okay.
And then we'll go back and we'll catch some of the areas that are off Sun City Boulevard
mm-hmm.
that are part of the common area.
Okay, and just to get ahead of the curve, is there anything else that you're doing that will make the plants look different in the future that homeowners might see down the road?
Yeah, our strategy is to separate have more separation between the plants, to have them look more uniformly trimmed, and to have, as I said, have the foliage up off the ground so that the debris can be cleaned
mm-hmm.
out from underneath
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we're doing is we are limiting the plant palette here. We had a whole variety of species planted out here, some of them which really didn't belong in the desert. So we are slowly taking those out. Palo Verdes, for example, you know, Palo Verde trees are park trees. There's good places for them. We have places that they can be planted. But a lot of places they were planted, they shouldn't have been planted.
Mm-hmm.
We have the African sumac, the Rhus lancea. That tree just does not handle the heat. And so we've lost a lot of them. So what we're doing is we've seen right now that the rosewood trees grow very well, and they seem to do well in the heat. So, for example, we replaced all the dead and dying trees in the parking lot in front of Shadows Restaurant there with 15-gallon rosewood trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're using rosewoods in areas where we're having to take out the African sumac, the California pepper trees. Some of them do okay, but most of them don't do very well out here. Some of the acacias don't handle the severe heat that
yeah.
we had over these last two summers. So we're cutting back on the species that we have,
mm-hmm.
and again to make a little more uniformity look
yeah.
to it.
Yeah,
that's a strategy anyway.
Okay, well, I appreciate your coming in and explaining what your committee does and give us some idea of the magnitude of the job. This has been great. So thank you for coming in. Is there anything I missed?
I would like to add one thing, and it is the importance of having homeowners communicate with us when they have questions or they have concerns about what's going on with the landscaping. There are many people out that walk the community all the time. They see things that we don't necessarily pick up, things that happen. We like to know about those things, and we seriously consider them and discuss them and attempt to respond in a positive way to trying to rectify the concern.
And what is the best way to communicate with you?
The best way is through email. There's to the Landscape Advisory Committee. There is a Landscape Advisory Committee email address. It's on the website.
Okay.
They can just tell anybody in the HOA office, and the concern will get to us. They're all primed to give us the inputs that come in through the office. So either way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in.
Well, you're welcome.
And for the audience, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, please tell a neighbor. We are getting most of our new listeners via word of mouth, and I'd appreciate your help. Also, if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please drop me a note. It's podcasts@suncityshadowhills.com. It's right there on the webpage. And so until next time, bye-bye.